and therefore the soul will live and never maximize its potentials. And when this soul dies, we will even have greater nourishment from this soul because it abused its potential on earth. So they found Terach. Terach was Terach. And Terach's wife, Amasloi, was no better than him. They were the idol worshippers of the generation. The Midrash says even more, that their relationship, which conceived Avraham, was a relationship when she was a Nida. She was in the midst of her menstrual cycle. So in addition to their being wicked people, the actual union was a contaminated one, was an impure one. So they sent out the neshama of Avraham. The same is true regarding Chizkiyah and Achaz. The same is true regarding, it says, Reb Meir. And many, many great neshamas who had to come through this experience. This is parenthetically, I'm not going to get into it, the reason regarding the soul of the greatest human beings of all time, Mashiach. If you are to understand the genealogy of Mashiach, it's totally absurd. It begins with Lot and his two daughters, and his relationship with them, with the two children, Amin and Moav. It continues to Rus, Hamayaviah, who is from Moabite descent, who has a very weird and obscure relationship with Boaz, in a very weird place, at a very weird time, as discussed in Rus. It continues further to the enigmatic relationship between David and Bathsheba, and continues further a generation earlier, this is not so familiar, the relationship between Yishai and David's mother. It continues in the next generation between Shloima and Naama HaAmonis. And Mashiach comes from all of this. Says the Arizal, since Mashiach is the greatest soul of all times, the soul that is going to introduce once and for all the godly purpose into existence, this the Klippas will never let out. Because this is the ultimate war against them. This is destroying them. This is devastating them. Mashiach is the time when Klippa will be vanished, when the godly reality will become the reality in the world. So the only way Hashem can do it, and since Hashem gives them validity, because that's how the system of the world comes, we have to perfect the world. Klippa doesn't get vanished miraculously. So Hashem, in the beginning of time, chose that seed and made sure that in those obscure relationships, the seed of Mashiach should be hidden somewhere until the day when it will be revealed and ultimately Mashiach will come. This is true regarding Mashiach and many other sages. This is the reason why sometimes regarding the soul itself, a very great soul can be born to a lowly and despised father. But this is all regarding the soul. Regarding the garment of the soul, this already is determined by the parents. Does anyone have questions before I continue? Okay. What a miracle. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, yeah. This issue is not something that we understand, we determine. This is already dealing with Hashem, which souls are where, and which souls... The Arizal discusses it at length. It's very, some very powerful stuff over there. Yeah.
In some ways, aren't you saying that any living soul, Jewish soul, owes its existence...
Isn't it putting a blame on our parents for a lot of things? Why don't you look at it the other way? Isn't it giving our parents an opportunity to bring into the world beautiful and holy and healthy children, physically and spiritually? That's how I would look at it. What do we have to focus on the negative side? Yeah. Yeah. If the garment is produced by the parents, what did Avraham Avinu deal? Einachinami. That's why the Klippas allowed Avraham's soul to be released, because they felt it's going to be such a thick, concealing, obscuring garment, Avraham will never get out of it. And that was Avram's unique challenge. Avram rose to the occasion, and notwithstanding a garment from Terach and Amaslai, he nevertheless transcended that. And since his soul was Avram Avinu's soul, he ultimately rose and reached the pinnacle of spiritual and godly heights. And every human, I'll soon discuss in a moment how the same is true regarding every human being. Now, yeah. Okay, it's not, the klipos are not specific human beings. Sometimes your question was, who are the klipos and what type of power do they have? Klipos is a very famous, although misunderstood, doctrine in Kabbalistic teachings and Hasidic teachings. It's something that requires a lesson for itself. I did discuss it more at length in the Shiurim on chapter 1 with Alter Rebbe discusses klipa and sitra achira. It should be in the tapes, I'm sure, if they weren't erased. And the klipos are not specific human beings. Sometimes klipos can be embodied and personified in human beings, but nevertheless, the klipos generally, you're dealing with spiritual energies, spiritual reality, spiritual energies that are husks, that are shells, that Hashem create, that conceal the godly existence and the godly truth. In some way, you can deem it, our animal soul, as a klipodika soul. In the sense that it conceals the truth of godliness. It does not allow us to appreciate and to discern that the true essence of everything is Hashem. But nevertheless, that's a lower level of klipa. So that's what generally klipas are, and that's what their task is. And it's the reason why it exists is to grant a human being free choice. What do the klipas have with the neshamas? Since they receive nourishment from Kedusha, from sanctity, so sometimes Hashem allows them the opportunity to hold captive certain neshamas through which they're nourished. The reason why these neshamas have to do with klipa, it's usually the souls of those people who were given the mission to change the world. These souls are going to have to enter the realm of klipa and transform it. Souls like Avraham Avinu, souls like David HaMelech, souls like Mashiach, ultimately. Since these souls have to go through this experience, so they, so to speak, their journey, their voyage has to go through the realm of klipa. Because that's ultimately what their mission is. And over there they have to prevail. They don't only prevail in the realm of Kedusha. Now we have to understand one last final point, and that is how all of this comes into Tanya. As mentioned at a previous class, that the point of the Tanya comes to explain the pasuk Ikarev Elecha Adavar Ma'ed Beficha Levav Chalaseise. How this thing of Torah and Mitzvahs of Yiddishkeit is very near to you in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Every perek of Tanya comes to further clarify, explain, and internalize this pasuk. The question that perturbs the author before he writes the Sefer Tanya is, how can you say that Yiddishkeit is something truly close? We discussed at length then that people experience a perpetual struggle, where on one hand, Yiddishkeit and godliness could seem so real, but then it seems so evasive. It seems like it was all a dream, a fantasy, something superimposed. And the question is, what is the true reality? Through Tanya, the Alter Rebbe wants to guide and explain and teach the person how, despite the fact that there is a perpetual struggle, because there is an inherent duality in man between a godly soul and an animal soul, nevertheless, the human being has the opportunity that at every moment of his or her life, he or she can access and tap in to their spiritual godly self and make it a guiding factor in their life. So despite the struggle, despite that you'll always have an animal soul, most people, nevertheless, you always have that godly aspect in you, which the Tanya teaches you how you can understand, relate to it, tap into it and access it and make it a reality in your life. So the Alter Rebbe over here at the end of the Perek drives this point home by saying, true, parents do have a crucial influence on the nature of their children. So what about a Jewish person who comes and says, I never had a Jewish education. I was never given that ability. I was never given that chance. Furthermore, what happens if I grew up in a blemished environment, a spiritually blemished environment? What happens if his parents, in the time of their union or in their education, did not act properly? What is the fate of this child? Comes the Alter Rebbe and says, we're not going to deny it. Parents have a powerful influence on their children. And they are responsible for the good and for the not good on many issues. But nevertheless, every single Jew has a part in himself which is an untouched child. That no one but no one, whatever they may think or say or do to this child, cannot touch or affect this part of the child in any way whatsoever. And this is the actual neshama. Every single Jew contains a part in himself which is very pure, which is very holy, which is very innocent, which is very godly. And whatever this child went through, it can blemish and affect many parts of him, the garment. But nevertheless, there is a very true and essential part which comes directly from Hashem, and no one has an influence on that, and that always remains pure. So even at the age of 20 or 30 or 40 or 60, he can tap into that, access it, and live up to his true godly potential. And this is indeed something that's of very practical, contemporary significance today. Because there are many people, unfortunately children today, who were and are abused. And when I say abused, I mean in many ways. Not only physical abuse, but mental abuse, psychological abuse, spiritual abuse. Sometimes educators, teachers, principals, parents can abuse a child unwillingly. It's not their fault. They sometimes meant to the best. But in some psychological, mental, spiritual way, the child becomes affected. And this has severe consequences in the mental, psychological, spiritual life of the child when he or she grows up. And I don't have to elaborate on this because this is the common story today, every day. Many, many people were hurt by this. And the question is, how does Torah deal with this? The end of Perek Beis, the Alter Rebbe makes this point. And this is so important for the Tanya. Why Karev Eilecha? If the parents would be able to determine what type of soul you are, what type of soul you have, and how it can be expressed, and what should be its nature, then for such a person, it would sometimes be impossible to rise again and to be cured. Comes Dr. Rebbe and says, yeah, the garment depends on the parents, but the soul has nothing to do with anyone else but you, yourself, and Hashem who imbues you with that soul. And therefore, whatever your past was, whatever you went through, whatever scars an individual has, and as severe as these scars may be, they cannot taint or scar that essential godly consciousness that exists within man. And therefore, it's sometimes difficult. It sometimes seems very difficult. But it's not impossible, never impossible. In fact, it's karev eilecha. With the proper understanding and with the proper guidance, man, in every situation, can become connected with that part of him and make that neshama reality in his or her life and thus achieve wholesomeness, happiness in life, and fulfill their godly spiritual mission in this world.
Yeah. You heard that the Levushe means the Nefesh HaSichlis. I interpret it as the Nefesh HaBahamas. Okay, the question is that Alter Rebbe discusses here the Levush that the parents contribute to the child. I discussed the Levush being the entire animal, vital soul that they give the child, that they impart to the child. And you're saying that you heard that Alter Rebbe is referring specifically to the Nefesh HaSichlis, to the intellectual, rational soul. We discussed in the shiurim in the beginning of chapter 2, in class number 8, 2 weeks ago, we discussed the concept of the Nefesh HaSichlis. Okay, in the writings of the Tzemach Tzedek on this Perek, when it comes to the Levush, he interprets it indeed as the Nefesh HaSichlis. But the Mittler Rebbe, the son of the Alter Rebbe, in his Sefer Bi'uri HaZoyar in Parshas Pinchas, he explicitly says that this levush of noiga, of klipas noiga, which the parents contribute, is the entire nefesh hachiyunis and habahamis, the entire vital and animal soul, and this is what they contribute to the child. The Alter Biuri HaZayar is indeed explanations on the Zayar that the Alter Rebbe, the Balatanya, Friday night he would give a class on the Zayar. It was a class exclusively for his children. Among them, the Mittler Rebbe. And the Mittler Rebbe transcribed all these classes and he printed them in a sefer called Bi'uri HaZayar, a few years after the Alter Rebbe passed away. Tavkuf Ayin Vav, I believe. That's 1816. In his own lifetime, in the Mittler Rebbe's lifetime. And in Be'ur HaZayir, he says that clearly, that the Levush includes the entire Nefesh HaBahamas. Therefore, I interpreted the Levush as including the entire other soul, which is both the rational element of the soul, as well as the Bahamaistic element of the soul. And this comes from the parents, which means, in other words, that the nature of the parents, their physical, biological nature, their mental, psychological nature, their perspectives, their mentalities, their mentality and their genetics, of course, and all that, that is what is continued in the child's life. His biological, psychological structure comes from the parents. But then there is another element, the Nefesh HaElokis, that comes purely from Hashem, that comes purely Mima. Yeah. That's a good question. How does it stem with the Gemara? The Gemara in Nida, could you please take out a Nida? Give me a Nida, please. In Nida, the Flamer Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, that there are three partners in a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avi V'Ima. And the Gemara discusses the fact that every one of these partners contributes. Aviv Mazriya HaLoiv and Shememenu Atzam is Gidim B'Tziparnayim. Imai contributes other things. Finally, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noisim Beiruach and Neshama. Hashem imbues man with the spirit, with the soul. And the Gemara continues, Kivan Shigi is Mani Lipatim in Ailam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noitel Chalkei V'Chelek Avi V'Imai Maniach Lefnei. I'm sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noitel Chalkei V'Chelek Avi V'Imai Maniach Lefnei. When it comes the time for the human being to pass away, Hashem takes his part away, and the part of the father and the mother he puts in front of them, which means he takes away the neshama, and the person is left with a body. So we see from here that the vital soul that gives the human being life, you're asking, comes from Hashem. Even that comes from Hashem. It's a very good question. The Mittler Rebbe in Be'yurei HaZayir Parshas Pinchas asks the question and says, "Hainu nefesh elokis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu noisin by neshama," is referring specifically to the divine soul. But the nefesh achiyunas abahamas come from the parents. However, one can ask that the pashtus, at least from the literal interpretation, it seems like the Gemara is also talking about the vital soul, because the Gemara says that upon his death, Hashem takes away his part, and that includes even the vital soul. That is taken away. A person doesn't even have the power to function as an animal after he passes away, God forbid. Yeah, so that's an obvious question. I don't know the answer for it. Perhaps, however, I can suggest that even when we say that the parents contribute, the Nefesh HaChiyunis and Bahamas, there is still a dimension where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part is extremely crucial, so to speak. There is still a very powerful dimension for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is needed. In other words, in the Nefesh HaChiyunis HaBahamas, there are various elements. Perhaps there are those elements, the different aspects of it which make up the psychological structure of the human being. But the soul, the vitality, the energy, the neshama, even of the Nefesh HaChiyunis HaBahamas, comes, of course, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, this is the partnership of Hashem, even in the Nefesh HaChiyunis HaBahamas. That's possible, but I'm not sure about that. That we have to research. Yeah.
The story is very touching. One of the fellows was hurt, so it was so happy that he had said he had to leave and start crying. You have a very powerful way of talking about it.
Thank you very much.
The last sentence, we think that there's different neshamas that come down with different strengths. We get gradations of neshamas, but if they're all part of Hashem, making gradations of Hashem and Chelek.
Yeah. Once it's born, every single Jew can access his godly soul. That's the whole point Alter Rebbe wants to make here. That there's a part in the person that's unaffected by the blemishes of the parents. It's that the parents do not determine. Everyone has that holiness, and whatever they do, the holiness of the soul is untainted. That is determined by Mima'al. That's why it says Chelek Aleikam Mima'al. It's purely from above. Even by their actions, by their conduct, by their perceptions, by their mentality, by their prejudices. This soul is totally mima'al. It's from above.
beginning from its source through its whole state of evolution. It's beyond this world's experience and beyond anyone in this world influencing it. That's the point. So you have in you something that no one can touch, no one can influence. It's holy as it was in its spiritual worlds. Yeah, so when you access that, you can access holiness in your life. Yeah. You understand?
It's very deep. It's of the essence.
Is
that also true of the daughter to the father?
Or
is the daughter connected more closely to the mother?
Yeah. You understand the Klippus issue? It's a little complex. I didn't want to get into it.
But the idea is simple. In other words, if you have a strong neshama, that power, the Mashiach, in other words, they have to be able, since they're revealing everything in the world, they have to have the potential or the capability of breaking through the Klippus.
Right. That's why Hashem allows the Klippus to have a hold on them, because they can only be successful if they go through Klippus. You know, before you want, when you want to train a spy, you want to train a spy, you have to send him to enemy territory. If not, he will not be able to be a spy. Mashiach is going to have to go into enemy territory. That's why before he's born,
on a spiritual level, he has to be able to do the revelation.
Right, so the Klippus have a hold on him, and therefore he can only be born through these weird, obscure relationships. I forgot Yehuda and Tamar, yeah. Yehuda and Tamar, yeah.
So you have Mordechai, had the Klayach of Yehuda, he came from Yehuda, came from Binyamin. Now, did you see this certain like spiritual? In other words, Binyamin wasn't at the Mechira. Part of the problem is that they had the Koyach. You see how spiritually, I guess,
yeah,
your forefathers have
have a power,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, but one thing, well, you know, just think about that, and it's a side issue is when you really think about it, Esav is really
the son of
Jacob. How did you have a son, a brother, go so if you really think about it, when you say that's the Kedusha,
with Esav and Yitzchak,
you're really the same parents. Jacob had the same father, mother, had the same father, mother. Look, he's our terrible enemy through life.
No, it's no question that Esav had a holy garment. He couldn't have a holier garment.
Yeah.
Yitzchak and Rivka. Indeed, it says Esav even had a great soul. But Esav, everyone, even Yaakov and Esav had free choice. Everyone has free choice. I mean, I didn't discuss it, but it's quite obvious. Alter Rebbe over here does not discuss the issue of free choice. That's the issue. How you're going to live your life. You can have holy parents and holy garments, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother. You cannot think Torah without your brain. The Nefesh HaLakish doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael and Nefesh HaBahamas in China. They both live in the same brain. They have to use the same hands.
Which is the brain? The brain is the Nefesh HaBahamas.
No, the brain is a mayach, a physical brain. A gashmizdika brain. Yeah. Now you have chayis to the brain. It's the Nefesh HaBahamas, Nefesh HaChiyonis. The Nefesh HaLakish, in order it should exercise its Chachma bin Nandas, its understanding, must use side the brain and side the physical energy of the brain, which comes from the Nefesh HaBahamas. So it's always working through the Levush of the Nefesh HaBahamas. When it wants to put on tefillin, the Nefesh HaLakish wants to put on tefillin, because it wants to connect to the Eibishter. So you need a hand, and your hand has to be able to move, so you have to have a blood circulation. From Nefesh HaChiyunis. Avada. Everything, the Nefesh HaChiyunis is the Chiyunistic soul. What do you want the Nefesh HaLakish to be? You just stay in the mitbrata, mitzvah. What's
the
thing?
The chayis from the brain is the Nefesh HaBahamas.
That's
the brain is the chayis in the brain.
I mean chayis in the brain. What means chayis in the brain? Chayis in the brain means a mace also has a brain, but he can't think.
Yes.
Yeah. There's pushed a certain. The blood, first the circulation of the Eberstadt Gemach, that the circulation allows the nerves in the brain to function, that's all from the Nefesh HaChiyunis HaBahamas. What's the Nefesh HaLakis? Nefesh HaLakis is a character, is a spiritual character, character. What's the teichen of this character? Gatlichkeit. That's it. But in order it should experience its character, in our life, it has to go through the Nefesh HaChiyunis. There's no other way. Avada through the Nefesh Avada has, as I said, Nefesh HaBahamas has two inyanim to it. People confuse it. First of all, it gives you life. physical life. Yeah. Even if you wouldn't think, you wouldn't feel. Like a... like a what? The power of perception. You should be able to see, you should be able to hear. In addition... yeah, nafshachiyah, that's what's called nafshachiyunas. Even the chayis gufnis comes from nafshalakis. But even that, it comes through the nafshachiyunas. So you can't say...
This is the first step in the
Nefesh HaMamzal. That's the first. Second thing, Nefesh HaMamzal has a character. In Perek Aleph, he's two things. He amasla bashes b'dam adam lahachi es haguf. Ki nefesh habasa b'dam. He managed. Mimena bayis kol amidis reis. That's right, it's a midis. Ka, sky, personality. Midis. And then later you'll see seichel also. A spiritual human being. He has a personality, he has a character, he has what he feels, his moods, he has understanding. He could dream, he could philosophize, he could fantasize, he could hate, he could love. It's all from the Nefesh HaBahamas. It's an akud of Nefesh HaBahamas, because what the mohus of this ruchni is ich. It's still a kus. Ich. Then the Nefesh HaLakis. The Lakis also has a personality. What's the teichen of this personality? Teichen of this personality is getlichkeit. So the love is getlichkeit in the head. Nefesh HaLakis hurts as a lakus is damas. And that's a tol chayis, that's a tol gadda, that's a tol inya. How does it experience itself? How does it express itself? How does it manifest itself? In our world. In Lamaila, it doesn't have a problem, man. It manifests through itself. Through itself it manifests itself. But over here, we take things through tools, through machshirim. So, Nefesh HaLakis hears itself, but in zich. You want that, you should live with it. So it has to go through a guf, through an afshachiyunas. That's the levush. That's why he calls it levush. He wants to be madgish, how it's very negaya to the neshama. Yeah. It's through the guf and the afshachiyunas. Through the afshachiyunas and the afshachiyunas is mechaya the guf. It says, kol ha-mitzvah sha'esa kela de'esa levush. You can't do a mitzvah without it. Even trachtna mitzvah, certainly a gashmizdika mitzvah, kevin stocky, you can't do it. And the Nefesh HaLakis, how does the Nefesh HaLakis express itself through a mitzvah? Levushim, we'll see in Perek Dalet. That's how the Nefesh HaLakis expresses itself. So it has to have a guf. It has to have a Nefesh HaChiyunas. How the Nefesh HaLakis think, how it feels, it all has to do with the Nefesh HaChiyunas, with all the Nefesh HaChiyunas. It's a levush. It's an Nefesh HaLakis tracht. It has its own seichel. It has its own way of thinking. But it's connected. Not every Nefesh HaLakis thinks the same way. Huh? Yeah, but...
So that act of thinking is not a levush.
But that's part of the godly soul. Huh? It's not so... I don't know if Shada, the Nefesh HaBahamas is the levush HaMachshava. Levush HaMachshava is still the machshava from the Nefesh HaLakis. Mehechet Hesa. Huh? Can zay. Chavad Azakst.
You have an awareness maybe, whatever that is, but we can't even...
You can't know awareness without thought. We don't have awareness without thought. Yeah, okay, could be, yeah. That's how the Tzemach Tzaddik interprets it. I don't know if you have a better authority to explain Tanya than Tzemach Tzaddik. I'll tell you Tzemach Tzaddik writes. On the word Shein Lecha Levur Shaibta, Kinida HaKavona LeNefesh HaSichlis. It doesn't even write the Nefesh HaChiyunas HaBahamas. The Rishim is for Rebben, Ure'e Gam B'Yuri HaZeya Pinchas. B'Yuri HaZeya Pinchas Shaibta Tzemach Tzaddik, also the Levush, and that is like the Nefesh HaBahamas. So a lot of people only looking at Tzurim V'Ha'aris. So they always touch only Nefesh HaSichlis. But as they talk to Befeirish, it's the whole Nefesh HaMa'amis of the person. And the Rebbe Tzeichens is the Abori HaZeir. But for standing, the Pshat is both. Befeirish is both. And since Befrat, Al Pi HaYadua, that in Tanya, the Nefesh HaSichlis is usually considered part of the Nefesh HaMa'amis.
This is how you
No, I wouldn't. These things you can't determine by yourself. No, it says befeders. These things is. He says it befeders, mamash. It says nefesh achiyunas abahamas. It's modna, because the whole Tanya states stein nefashes. Tutzing alavush gevarad. In one pedik, in a few words, gevarad alavush. Zog a nefesh. It's very modna. Plutzing anayid nomen. Why does he call it lavush? Because evil dich beantfer in a zeyer. Why does the zeyer call it? The zeyer says that you're going to be mamshach a nefesh from sitrachera. So he calls it a lavush. Since it's a lavush, so it could be called Hashem HaNefesh, because it's so close associated. He doesn't want to bring out the Havdalah of the two nefashes. He wants to bring out the Ishachdus of the Nefesh HaLekis with the lavush. I say Duchtzach, man. I don't, doesn't state, I say Duchtzach, man. Why? Plutzling Vertis HaLavush, man. That's one Inyan. Idachis, he wants to bring out another Inyan. That the Pnimiyas is Nishgebitten. He wants to bring out that only your garment you could change. That Nekuda. Not the, he doesn't want to talk about the Nefesh over there.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.